You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. So it's not brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my need. Don't have to beg because I am a seed. Cause every good and perfect gift comes from the Father who I am. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Lifeline broadcast, hosted by Apostle Shirley Jones. She is the senior pastor of Rehoboth Family Life Center, and we are located at 17900 Queen Anne Road, Upper Marlboro, Maryland, 20774. Service on Sunday is at 10 a.m., and we would be honored to have you come out to worship and fellowship with us. We are indeed being blessed by the Lord every Sunday. We have Bible study via teleconference every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. The dial-in number is 712-432-3100. The access code is 386-279. Apostle Jones' book, Lifeline, When God Speaks, Volumes 1 and 2, can be purchased at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and any place books are sold. You can also send your request to www.shirleyjjones.com. To purchase the books along with a worship CD birthed during her time sitting before the Lord. Lifeline, When God Speaks, is a book of encouraging words that God gave for her life and now she shares to encourage you in your journey. So be sure to get a copy. Apostle Jones can be reached via email at apostlesjones@rehobothflc.org or by phone at 1-877-354-6082. She would love to hear from you. Remember, the broadcast is the first Monday of each month. Get the word out. Now, to Lifeline Broadcast with Apostle Shirley Jones.
Well, good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining me tonight again for the Lifeline Broadcast. To God be all the glory. Well, as always, I am so honored and glad to be a part of this network, When Christians Speak Talk Radio Show. This is a place where the mission and the vision is to spread the gospel and folks will be saved and encouraged to be true kingdom dwellers. To God be the glory. Amen and amen. Well, before I get into, the message for tonight, I want to invite you guys to join us at Rehoboth Family Life Center on December 15th at 10 o'clock for our church Christmas celebration. And again, we are located at 17900 Queen Anne Road, Upper Marlboro, Maryland, 20774. And we would love to have you come worship and fellowship with us. So once again, that's on December 15th at 10 o'clock. Well, I'm going to go ahead and open us up in prayer, and then I'm going to go ahead and get into the message for tonight. So, Father, I thank you, and I bless you, God, and I honor you tonight, God. You are such a faithful and such a loving and kind Father, and there is none like you, Lord. I thank you, that Lord God, that you love us and you take care of us. You look after us, and you don't leave us. You don't forsake us, and you continually want the best for us because you gave the best of you. And so we thank you for that tonight. I ask that, God, that you would bless every listener on the broadcast. I pray that, God, that tonight that they not just be listeners or hearers of the word, but God, but they will be able to take away some pearls of wisdom and revelation that will make a difference in their lives. So, Father, I submit and commit myself to you tonight. I pray that, God, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my Redeemer, Father God, and you're my everything. So I bless you tonight. I pray that, God, that you would be blessed and honored during this broadcast, and that, Father God, that you will get the glory and the honor and the praise that's due you. So we bless you and we honor you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen, and amen. Well, I'm looking forward to the broadcast tonight. I'm going to actually share a message that I have been sharing at Rehoboth probably, we've been doing this message series probably for the last 4 weeks, and God has just been blessing us and showing us some great things about who we are and whose we are and all the things that he has for us. So I just want to share a portion of some of the teaching that I've been doing at the church. So tonight, the title of this teaching is going to be The End of Me. The End of Me. Well, you know, there are times in each one of our lives that we have experienced such a profound move of God on our behalf. You know, those times when he expresses and he displays his love for us, and he comes and he invades our space with his presence. And that those times leave such a lasting impression with us that we're able to use it as a witness that regardless of what we're going through, how long it's been, that everything is going to be okay, but not just okay, but awesome and awe-inspiring. But sometimes, you know, I feel that we do not allow those times to remain alive with us. Just think about a situation where God shows up and life was forever changed. I believe that we need not to forget those times and let him witness to us. You know, those times when God shows up, where you know that had it not been for God on your side, where would you be? Those times when you didn't know how you were going to make it. You didn't. Those times when maybe your body was racked with pain. Those times when you didn't have any provisions for your family, and then God shows up. He shows up where nobody else could have come to see about you. Nobody else could have done those things about like that the way he did it. But unfortunately, sometimes we have those wonderful experiences, those awe-inspiring experiences, and then when life changes, you know, we back on our feet, we're going forward, and then we forget about those times when God really showed himself mightily in our behalf. And so the next time something springs up, we forget that he's the same God that he did it back there, that God can do it again. So we have to remind ourselves what and who God is and all those wonderful things that he's done in the past and apply that same witness to things that may pop up in our future. I believe that those awesome experience with God should help us stop doing us, you know, with us where we're trying to figure things out and allowing him full asset to who he is and what he's called us to be. Instead of trying to come up with a solution the next time, trying to make something happen the next time, trying to do what we want to do the next time. But if we can remember that it was God that showed up. It was God that brought us out of that situation and so that we can get out of the way and allow him to be God again. The Bible tells us over in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forevermore. And that's the blessing that God does not change, that his provisions don't change, his mercy doesn't change, his grace doesn't change, and his power doesn't change, his authority doesn't change, his love for us doesn't change. And so that we can take our experiences and say, you know what, I remember the last time I was in that spot, but it was nobody but God that came to see about me. And so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to lay my petitions before him. I'm going to get on my face and say, God, I don't know what I'm supposed to do or how I'm supposed to do it, but God, you have always taken care of me. And so I'm going to get out of the way. I'm going to go to bed. I'm going to go to sleep. And I'm going to trust you, Father, that you're going to work it out for me. See, that's what it means, part of getting out of the way and coming to the end of you, where you're not trying to figure it out, you're not trying to make anything happen, but you want to trust God totally in every given situation. This is where David over in Psalm 42, verse 6, it says, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me, therefore will I remember, hear me now, remember, I will remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. This is where David was going through. But David had to remind himself, he says, soul, why is thy soul cast down within me? David had to remind himself of all the times that God came to see about him. He says, I shouldn't be cast down. I shouldn't be sad. I shouldn't be doubtful. I shouldn't be afraid because of all the times that God came and delivered me. He delivered me out of the clutches of the enemy when Saul was on my case. That God came and he made sure that Saul didn't take me out. He had to remind himself. And so sometimes we have to do that when we're in another situation, that we can remind ourselves, but God, you took care of me then. And if you took care of me then, Father, you still love me and your power doesn't change. Nothing about you ever changes. And so therefore, if you did it then God, you can do it again and again and again. Lamentations 3:21-24 says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new, hey, every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Thy compassions fail not, because they're new every morning. So we can, regardless of what we're going through, that we can recall to my mind. That's what the scripture says. This I recall to my mind. When I recall those things that God has done, that's what enables me to have hope in every given situation, knowing that God can bring me through. God's going to come again, and he's going to tell me what to do. He's going to lead me, and he's going to guide me into the places and the things that we need in our lives. We have been having some powerful worship services at Rehoboth. I remember, I believe it was the month of October and maybe November, where I believe God was just setting us up for this series of teaching about the end of me. And I believe now, as I look back in retrospect, I believe that just like he tells us to speak to ourselves and remind ourselves, see, God will do some things to show you and to set you up. And I believe that that's what God did to us at Rehoboth. We have been having some really awesome worship services. It got to the place where maybe 3 Sundays in a row we would go through praise and worship, and I would get to a place to get up to preach and teach, and I felt a check in my spirit that God just wanted us to stay into the praise and to the worship. And so I've learned to be obedient. I've learned to be sensitive to the move of the Spirit, that when God wants worship, he gets worship. I'm not trying to force the issue, like, well, I studied all week and I got a word. No. I've learned to be sensitive to the move of the Spirit, that when God wants just that, then that's what he's going to get. So there was one week that there was such a presence of the Spirit of God that consumed the room. It was like we were in praise and worship, and right after that is when I normally get up. And when I stood up, I could feel like just the weight of his glory. I was like, whoa. When I got up to the podium, I was like, whoa. And I knew that. I said, okay, something has shifted in the room, and I got to wait now to see which way he wants me to go. So right at the end of praise and worship, his presence caused everything to cease. There was this silence in the room that was not even earthly, but it was heavenly. That silence that you don't normally hear, you know, you say, how do you hear silence? But it's that kind of silence where it's not something that you normally experience. It's not even, like I said, it's not even earthly. It's heavenly. But as we began to just get quiet, everybody got quiet because the room got quiet. And he began to speak to us, and he said that he allowed us to know that he had come to the sanctuary to bring his presence because we had been too busy to hear him. Oh, glory. He said that I stopped everything. And because he loved us so much and he knows the importance of hearing him, he just took control. And in that atmosphere, whatever was needed could be received. It was so glorious. It was like we stayed there for a good bit. We just got quiet because the room got quiet. Nobody moved hardly, and it was just still. And then he began to speak to us and tell us that the reason he was doing this is so that we would hear him. And we had to get to the position and place of knowing that he loved us, and he was doing that because we've been too busy to hear God. We need to check ourselves. Are you too busy to hear God? Do you ever take time just to get quiet in his presence? Sometimes we come and we think we always got to talk. Not always. Sometimes you just need to get quiet. Let him speak. He will speak. And sometimes it's just being in the stillness and the quietness. It begins to calm you down. It begins to quiet you down so that you can go forward and be what he's called us to be. Well, I have just been, since that time, I have truly been just in awe of just that experience. And I said, God, I thank you. I thank you, God, that you would do that for us, that you trust us to embrace your presence and not to force our agenda to go any further. It was a witness to us that whenever he steps into anything and everything, it ceases and it changes. So since that time, I've been really praying. My prayer has been, thank you for showing me again your presence changes things. Therefore, I ask that your presence will infiltrate every area of my life, my family's life, and Rehoboth, that it becomes what you say that it should be. And I relish in it being so. Amen and amen. That's been my prayer. That God, I thank you that you allow me again to experience, Father God, that when you step into a situation, that it will change. When you step into a situation, that you take control of it. And so I believe that God was setting us up to be able to now talk about coming to the end of us. The end of me is the title of the series. And I believe that God was just setting us up to let us know that when you come to the end of you, then you can see how great I am. When you come to the end of you, just like I just stepped into that room and I've ceased everything, that when I step into your life and when I come with my presence, that anything that you're going through, that you don't have to try to figure it out, you don't have to try to make it work, that you could just let me be God and let me work it out. So God was just setting us up. He's given us a foundation. He's given us some things that we can understand the importance of us getting out of the way. Well, I'm also reading a book, and this is where the title of the message came from. I'm reading a book, and it's actually called The End of Me, and it's by a gentleman, a pastor. His name is Kyle Eidelman, and he got to a place in his life and his walk with God where he came to the understanding that no matter what his life could be, it only could have real meaning when he came to the end of himself, that now Jesus could be reflected in and through him, which was the true essence of life. And I was just so taken by, actually, Pastor Irma had gotten this book, and she heard about the book, and she mentioned it to me, and I said, I need to get that book for me. Can you get the book for me? And it came with a workbook, and it came with some videos, and it came with a couple other things, but it was a title that grabbed. It was like my spirit began to just stir when I heard that, the end of me. And so when I got the book and I began to read the book and look at some of the things that he written, I knew that that's what the series in which God would have me to present to the church. And let me just read a note that he wrote in his book that I just think was so profound, and it was letting us know the importance of coming to the end of us. So this is what he wrote in the very beginning of his book. He wrote a note to me. He says, I love you, me, but I can't keep living for you. You always insist that if I just keep you happy, then I'd be happy. As simple as that. But you know what? It's not as simple as that. It never has been. Me, I'll let you be in control and sit in the driver's seat. But it's clear you can't be trusted. You keep insisting you know the way we should go, but it always seems to be a dead end. I've looked into some other options, and I have decided to begin a journey down a different path. It's narrow and difficult, and not any choose it, but it leads to real and abundant life. However, and there is no easy way to say this, I can't take this path if I bring you along. So me, this is the end of you, sincerely me. Oh, glory to God. When I read that, I thought, wow, that is so profound, that he was talking to himself, and he was saying, self, I've let you rule. I've let you lead. I let you guide. And I really recognize now that you can't take me into the best path for my life. You can't do that. If I let you continually rule and abide and lead and guide me, my life will never be what God has called it to be. So he says, I've got to let you go, self. I've got to let you go, and I've got to get out of the way, and I've got to let God be God. And see, and that's what God is saying to each one of us tonight. He says, if you come to the end of you, that's where the beginning of me starts. That's where I can rule and abide, and you don't have to try to figure it out. You know, that is work, y'all. I thank God that I can sit and get quiet and listen for direction and not try to figure it out. And I'm a very, I consider myself as being very analytical, and I can come up with answers to a situation just like that. But what I've learned, even with my analytical self, where I ask a bunch of questions and I dissect it and put it back together, that's just who I am. But I can't do it like God. I can't do it like God. If I could just set my analytical self over there someplace and just say, God, I need you to show me how to do it. It is so much less work. It's not as stressful. It's not frustrating. It's none of those things. And God is trying to free us up, y'all. He's trying to say, stop trying to figure it out. You don't know it like I know it. You don't have the skills that I have. You've not stepped out of eternity and stepped back, and you don't know you're in at your beginning. I know all of that. And you're doing yourself such a disservice of trying to live your life on your terms and your smart self and your pretty self and all the people you know and all the money you have. But he said, none of that going to work. None of that's going to work. It doesn't work like I work. He said, so get out of the way. Get out of the way. Get out of the way and allow me to work in your life and lead and guide you. Talking about the end of me. So tonight, this is what I want to do. I don't know how far I'm going to get, but tonight I want to lay some foundational truths on the importance of getting to the end of me. And I believe it's so important because we're about to end on 2019, and I believe going into 2020, I believe 2020 is going to be all the way live. I just believe that because there's so much chaos and darkness upon the earth, there's all kind of things that's going on and just chaos among the earth. But I believe that those are the times when God will show himself mightily. God will show who he is. God will show that he's in control. And God's going to build up, I believe, the church so the church can be instruments in his hand. We are the church. And so God wants to use us to be able to be his witness upon the earth, to be somebody's option, to be able to be his hands and his feet and his voice upon the earth, to be able to decree and declare a thing, to be able to come against the powers of darkness. It's one of the things I was saying a couple of weeks ago. I said, you know what, it looks like the enemy has just upped his game. And I was quickened immediately by the Holy Spirit. He said, no, the enemy has not upped his game. He says, what the church and the kingdom dwellers have lessened their game. He says he's always been a liar, a killer, a thief. That's what it says over in John 10. But he says that so he's going to always be who he is. But what are you doing? Have you become complacent? Have you stopped praying? Are you not seeking me out? Are you not reading your word? Are you not declaring what I said? Are you not you're not being an intercessor? You're not being a warrior in prayer. What are you doing? He says, you have the authority. My church has the authority. My people have the authority. So the enemy is just being the enemy. But what are you doing? What are you doing? So the enemy is not being no more than what he always been. It just looked like it's more because that should check us and say, okay, but what are we doing? We've been given authority. We've been given the word of God to speak and call those things to be not as if they were. We were called to be able to rebuke. We were called to cast down. We were called and given the authority to do that. So that's what he's saying, that I believe as we're entering in 2020, that God wants us to be in position to be able to walk in his authority, to be able to declare and decree that God's provisions and God's purpose and God's kingdom will be upon the earth. And so in order to do that, to truly walk, I'm talking about, listen to me now, I'm talking about walking in a whole nother realm and a whole nother dimension. I'm not talking about getting a new house and a new car and a new boat and a new pair of shoes and a new suit. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about those types of things. I'm talking about true authority that God has given us, that we can walk there, but we've got to get out of the way, because God is not going to mingle himself with ourselves. He says, I need you to get out of the way. I just need a body. Let me use your body. Let me use you to be able to speak life into a dying world. But I don't need you to give your spin on it. I just need you to be obedient to what I show you and what I want to do through you. So I believe that 2020 is coming, and it's going to be powerful. And I want to be a part of that move upon the earth. I want God to be able to use my hands and my mouth and my words and my declarations, that what I speak, that it shall come to pass. Because why? I've gotten my instruction from the Almighty God. So it's important that we get out of the way. We get out of the way with our preconceived notions about this and that and how it should be. And none of that, God says, none of that's me. Get out of the way. Get out of the way so that I can use you upon the earth. So we're going to just talk a little bit tonight about some of the things or the reasons why it's so important that we do get out of the way. You know why? One of the reasons is because he knows all things. Come on, y'all. He knows all things. God is the potter, and we are the clay. Jeremiah 18:3-6 says, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. He is a potter. He is the clay. We are the clay. And when we came to him, we were marred. We were marred. We were a mess. And so now we're in his hands. And he says, but will you let me fix you up. Let me make you anew. Let me take you off the wheel and put you back on and get rid of all the impurities and all the junk. And all the things that does not represent my kingdom. Will you let me do that? Will you let me make you out of another vessel? Will you truly be the clay and let me be the potter? The clay doesn't tell the potter what it wants to do. The clay doesn't tell the potter what it want to be, because the clay is an instrument in the potter's hand, and it's obedient however the potter shapes it. So that's what God wants to do with us. He wants to shape us and mold us so that we can be who he calls us to be. He knows, y'all, all things. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. This is one of my favorite scriptures. I have a lot of them. Y'all hear me say that a lot. Oh, that's my favorite. This is one of my favorites. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. There is an expected end for each one of us. We have purpose and we have destiny. And he says, I am the one that will give you that expected end. How do we dare try to position and fashion our lives when we don't even know what we're supposed to be? How do we go through the process, or put ourselves through the process of something that we don't even know? But he knows what our expected end is. And so if we allow him to rule and abide in our lives, if we can get out of the way. I mentioned this yesterday in church, that's why you have some people that maybe have worked for the federal government and they quit their jobs and they open up a flower shop, because they understand, they finally got to a place that they weren't trying to run the career path, not that path, but they knew that there was something else that God would have them to do. They open up a flower shop. Now, it seems like, what, a flower shop? But you don't know what God will do with the flower shop, whose life he will touch. where the person can meet somebody, where the person can then be called to go to an event and bring some flowers and be asked to be a speaker. It's like he said he knows the process and he knows the expected end. So we've got to allow him to do it. Because a lot of times we're walking on these paths and it's not leading where God would have us to go. We've got to allow the process to be the process to get to the expected end. So we've got to allow God to do it. He knows what we're supposed to look like. You've heard me say this so many days. My life looks nothing like I thought it would be. But I was just telling my son earlier today, but I bless God for my life. I bless God for where it is. It looks like nothing I thought it would be, but I thank God for what it is because I know that I'm on that path. I'm in that direction in which God has for my life. And that's what God is calling for us. Come on, and let's just purpose. I'm going to throw this out right here. Let us purpose for these last days in the month of December to really get before God and allow him just to be God so that when 2020 kicks in, that we're positioned, we're standing in position for God to be able to rule and abide in our lives and direct us and keep us and do what he would have us to do. Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We ain't that smart, y'all. We're not that smart. We're not that cute. We don't know enough. Things that seem right unto a man, but the end can lead to death. You don't know what's behind. Something can look real pretty. It can look real pretty, and you go for it because it's pretty and it's what you've always wanted, but not knowing right behind that thing, when you get into it, it will almost kill you. How many times have you heard people say, yeah, I met this person, and they were really nice. Oh, they said all the right things. They did all the right things. And then before I knew it, the script flipped, and they flipped. Because why? We didn't listen to God. We wanted it, and so we went with it. And there were probably some red flags, but how many of us know sometimes we will even ignore the red flags because it's something that we want? But there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We got to get out of our way, get out of our way, and let God be God. So what else we need to get out of the way? Because we can trust him. Why? We can trust him because he has the best for us, even in the worst of situations. Now that right there is true. He has the best for us even in the worst of situations. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Even when it looks crazy, even when it looks like this, no good can come out of this, but he has the best for us. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things, hallelujah, oh, hallelujah, works together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. All things. So if I am allowing God to lead and guide me, if I'm out of the way and he says, surely go over here, and then I get over there, and it doesn't, and see, and what we do is we try to put arms and legs on what God has said. God said, just go over there. He didn't say anything, but already this must mean this is what's going to happen. Then I get over there, and that doesn't happen, but he never said that. He just said, go over there. When I go over there and I wait, I got to wait for the next instructions. I got to wait to see what else he says because he says that all things work together for the good. It may not lead the way you think it's supposed to lead, but it will lead to your expected end. So we have to trust him knowing that even in the worst of situations, the worst of situations, not the situations that you picked up, but the situations that God has called for your life where it looks like this is hard, God. I'm looking crazy to people talking about me. I don't understand it myself, and I'm just trying to hang on, God, and I don't know what to do, but I know you told me to be here, and so I'm just going to wait on you and trust you. And I have found whenever I've been in situations like that, that God will show up and he will maneuver in that thing. And before you know it, I'm at the place where he said I was going to be. We can trust God because he has the best for us. Look at David. Remember David, when David was on the run from Saul and when David was in the cave and hiding from Saul, but he had already been anointed king. And I love this. He's already been anointed king, and he was said he was going to be the king of Israel. But here he is in a cave hiding. A king don't hide in no cave. But remember, all things work together for the good. God had him go into the cave, but he sent him some boys. I love this. He sent him some boys that they weren't afraid to fight. They weren't afraid to pull a knife or a gun or whatever they had to do. It's like, David, are we with you? What would you need us to do? Because they could follow David because the anointing of a king was on him, although he was in a cave. But the anointing of a king was on him, and they could see that that was an anointing of a leader that they could follow. Oh, hallelujah. God can get the best in the worst of situations. Joseph was in the pit. Remember, Joseph was in the pit. But when it was all said and done, Joseph was the second in command to the king of Egypt. He was an Egyptian. But here, God was able to move him through the ranks. Hallelujah. He was able to move him through the process. He was able to show him how they thought and how they lived. And he had to learn some things. Even in the prison, he had to learn some things. He learned their language. He learned some of their traditions. He learned how to get behind their radar by being with them. And he could only have gotten that had he been through the prison. And now he's in the palace, second in command. So don't shy away from what God has for you to do, knowing that it all works together for the good. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to make nothing happen. Don't try to push nobody under the bus. Don't try to push the envelope. When God stops the things, you stop too, because he understands that this is where you need to stop, not go forward. Like, I just need to make it work. No, you don't. What you need to do is get out of the way and let God work it out for you so that you can get to your expected end. Oh, glory to God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not, hear me now, lean not unto thy own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. He shall direct thy path. When I get up in the morning, I'm always like, God, okay, you know, this is a new day. I want you to lead and guide me in my day. Show me which way to go. I don't want to miss anything. I want to give what I'm supposed to give. I want to receive what I'm supposed to receive. God, I don't want to miss anything. Whatever you would have me to do, then lead and guide me, Lord God. And so I remember about a few weeks ago, I had these errands I had to run. I had about four places I had to go, and I said, okay, I need to run these errands. So I got quiet, and he gave me a way to get all four of these things done, but he told me the order in which to do it. So I followed the order. And one of the places I had to go to was a dollar store. So I'm in the dollar store. That was probably my second or third out of the four places. I went to the dollar store, and I'm in the line, and this older gentleman was in the line, and he was talking to a young guy, real tall young guy. He was a clerk, and he was talking to him as he was in the line. And, you know, he was like, you ever play ball? And he was like, well, you know, some people have, you know, was telling me I should play ball. He said, you go to college? He says, no, because I don't want to go to college and be broke. He said, well, you need to go to college so that you don't be broke. And so he said, but, you know, I'm a alumni, and I'm on the board at this college in this area. He said, I probably could get you in. He says, if you're serious about it. He says, but, you know, you let me know. That's all he said. He said, let me know. He said, well, yeah, okay. And so the guy started to walk off. So I said, wait a minute, excuse me. I said, the two of you need to exchange information, with a conversation like that. You can't just leave that on the table. And so the guy looked at me. He said, well, I didn't want to hold you. I said, I'm good. You ain't holding me up. So he took out a piece of paper and a pen, and he wrote the number down, and he gave it to the young boy. And so he said, you know, when you're ready, give me a call, because I'm quite sure I can help you. And so he left. And so I said to the clerk, I said, you know, that was your opportunity. He said, I know somebody had asked me before. I said, but this is your second opportunity. I said, and don't blow it. I said, you need to make contact with him. I said, don't lose his number and make sure you give him a call. I said, you're going to do that? He said, yeah. I said, you promise me? And he said, yeah, ma'am, I promise you. I said, okay, now. I said, well, that was your opportunity. I said, this guy said that he can help you and you need to call. But I said, God, when I got outside, I said, God, I thank you. that you ordered my steps today. Had I went to any of those other places out of the sequel of which God told me, I would have missed the opportunity to be encouraged, this young boy. I said, God, I thank you. We've got to get out of the way. God knows more about our day. God knows more about our lives than we do. And if we let him lead and guide us, we'll be in a place that we can be instrument in somebody else's life. We can be a blessing to somebody else. John 3:16. We can trust him because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He loves us. He loves us. Come on. He loves us. He loves us. He shows us how much he loved us by giving the best of him, which is his son. He loves us. He loves us. So we can trust him to be able to work our lives out and give us the best of who he says he is. Another reason that when we get out of us, when we come to the end of us, that we're becoming new and the best of us, for the best of us will come forth. I'm talking about on a whole nother level that it must be God. This place in 2020, it's got to be God. It's got to be God. God's going to drop revelation. God's going to drop some things that we'll be able to use to be a blessing upon the earth. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. New, new. God is getting us out of the way. God wants us to get out of the way so he can introduce us to us. Oh, glory. I love this. Because remember, he said he foreknew us before we were formed in our mother's womb. He knew us. He knew us. And he knows our expected end. And so there's a part of me that he knew before I was me, and now he wants to introduce me to the me that he created, not the one that I made up, not the one that I allow society to say that I should be, but he wants me to meet me. And so if I get me out of the way, then I can meet the me that he created before the beginning of time. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, that's the one I want to be. I want to be her. I want to be the her that he foreknew before I was formed in my mother's womb. I want to be the her that has an expected end. I want to be the her that has destiny and purpose. I want to be the her that I can be used by God. I want to be her, the one that has the gifts inside of me that God has given me. I want to be the her that I can move in my spirit, that I can write the rest of the books that I have, that I can preach the rest of the message that I have, that I can declare the rest of the words that's in my belly. I want to be her. I don't want to be me. I want to be her, the one that God created before the beginning of time. You will never be as good as that one that God created, the unique one. Unique one. I said this yesterday. That think about it. Look at your thumb. Look at your thumb on both hands. Well, our fingerprints, the fingerprints that you have, is that nobody has that fingerprint but you. That shows you that, to me, it's like God stamped the uniqueness of who you are by giving us fingerprints that only we have. Nobody in the world has the same fingerprints as you do. So you are unique. That's his way, I believe, of stamping uniqueness in who we are. And we can only walk in that uniqueness as we allow him to lead us and guide us, get us out of the way, and that we can be the unique one that he stamped on us when we came into the earth. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. I'm talking about a whole nother level that God is calling us to, whole nother level. And one of the things that is so important that we get out of the way to the end of us is because in 2020, God is going to be calling us to do something different. We can't assume that what God wants us to do is the same that he did in 2019 and 2018 and 2017. God's doing a new thing. He's doing a better thing. He doesn't want us to get, this is what I love about God. He doesn't want us to put him in a box. He says, you know, I do things differently. I don't remember when he healed the blind. He did them. He healed people differently. He, you know, he touched some. He spoke to some. He put spit and mud on somebody else's eye. He did it because he let his sons know that I don't have just one way of doing things. I can do it many ways. I just need you to be obedient. And see, that was one of the things with Moses. And God just gave me this understanding a few weeks ago when I brought it to the church with Moses. Because remember, Moses didn't go to the promised land because God told Moses that when the people were complaining about they didn't have any water, he told Moses, he says, I need you to go, and I need you to speak to the rock. I need you to speak to the rock. And what did Moses do? He didn't speak to the rock. He struck the rock with the rod, and he struck the rock two times, not once, but twice. But what's so interesting, and I used to always say, you know, I was an advocate for Moses. I was like, but Moses, my boy, you know, Moses hung out with the people. The people was crazy. The people just kind of plucked his nerves, and he was tired of them just begging and complaining all the time. And so instead of him speaking to the rock, he was probably like, these sick, stupid people, they're getting on my nerves. And he struck the rock. He struck the rock, and because of that, he didn't go. I said, Moses, I said, God, just Moses, not Moses. Moses can't go. He said, no, Moses can't go because Moses was not obedient. But check this out, y'all. Check this out. That's why in 2020, don't look for God to do it the same way. You got to wait for God's instructions. Because what happened is I just was able to understand that a little bit more when he showed it to me. Because the first time when there was no water, this is over in Exodus chapter 17, verse 5 and 6. The people were complaining about they didn't have no water. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thy hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall water come out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he struck the rock, and the water came gushing out. Now, that was in the book of Exodus. But when he gets to the book of Numbers, the people are complaining again. But this time, what God did, he still gave Moses the rod in his hand, but he told him to speak to the rock. And I said, but God, I said, but you gave him the rod. He said, yeah, I gave him the rod because the rod represented my authority. It allowed him to know that he was holding my authority. So whatever I told him to do in the place of my authority, that it would come to pass. I said, God, really? He was like, yeah. He said the rod represented authority not only to Moses but to the people. Remember the same rod that he parted the Red Sea, the same rod that he struck the rock, but this time he just has the rock. He has the rod in his hand, but he told him to speak. He said the rod represented authority to not only Moses but to me, but he didn't use it. He hit the rock, but that's not what he was told to do. And because of that, he didn't go. I'm like, man, Moses, You didn't follow the instructions explicitly. You assumed, plus they made you mad. You assumed. You know, the rod I know can make water come out the rock because I did it before, but that's not what God said. So, I'm getting too excited. I just love it. It's in 2020. We've got to listen explicitly for instructions, and we got to do it God's way. We've got to get out of the way. Don't assume anything. Don't assume because God did it that way before that God's going to do it that way again. In 2020, you got to listen for instructions so that you can be in the place in which God is calling us. Come on, get out of the way and let God take you. We don't want to be like Moses and assuming anything. He had the authority, but you gotta know how to use the authority that you have. You gotta do it the way God says do it. And that's why God says, get out of the way, my children, get out of the way, so that you can be what I called you to be. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want to share this word that the Lord gave, and I gave to the church. He says, I will be as you further are not. hear me now. I will be as you further are not. There are rams and spears that you are called to that only can be reached by your journey with me. Indeed, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. But what I deem to be so is so. Still, the greater of me awaits you, that the greater of you may be fulfilled and lived out according to my precepts and plans for your life and the life of your family. He says, just me, and I am more than enough. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. I need to do that one more time, y'all. Listen, I will be as you further are not. There are rams and spears that you are called to that only can be reached by your journey with me. Indeed, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts, but what I deem to be so is so. Still, the greater of me awaits you, that the greater of you may be fulfilled and lived out according to my precepts and plan for your life and the life of your family. Just me, and I am more than enough. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. That's a word, y'all, that God has given us. He says, I'm more than enough. I don't need you to intertwine with me. I just need you to be obedient to what I ask you to do, but don't try to figure it out. Don't try to go on your own. Don't try to go out on your own realm and your own level. No, you can't do it like God can do it. So this is what I want you guys to do. I'm giving you an assignment for the rest of the month. And I know it's holiday season. Everybody's going to be, you know, hanging out and shopping and everything, but see, there's a greater thing working. There's a greater thing working. God wants us to be positioned for 2020. And this is your assignment. I want you to begin to look at you and where you are still standing up, doing you without the guidance from God in every area of your life, and those areas of fear and doubt not surrendered over to him. Also, I want you to write down all the experiences that you know, if no one else knows, was God that brought you through, and keep them before you. Get your sheet of paper. Write down on a piece of paper those places that you are still standing up, where you have fears and you have doubt, and you're trying to make it happen, and you're trying to make it work. And then on another sheet of paper, write down all the things that God has brought you out of, that you know there was nobody but God that could have done that. I wrote those on a piece of paper. I have on the top of the paper, I have the things that I believe if I'm standing up in those things, I still have questions about God, and I'm not totally surrendered in that thing. I write it on the top of the page. On the bottom, I wrote on several pages of things that God has brought me through, and I know there was nobody that did it. See, if you keep those things ever before you, then no matter what you're going through, when the enemy comes to tell you it ain't going to work, you pull out your paper and you say, but I recall to my mind the things that God did, and he is the same God today to yesterday and will be forevermore. God is positioning us to go out of 2019 to be in a position where we're getting out of the way a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, so that when 2020 hits, that we can begin to be in position to be able to hear God and to be able to follow his lead and not try to make it happen on our own. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless you, God. We bless you. And that's because he loves us. He wants the most for us. Remember, Jesus says that he's come that we may have life and we may have it more abundantly. God wants us to be witnesses of his upon the earth. He wants us to be his ambassadors upon the earth. He wants us to be in his plan of redemption upon the earth. And because he loves us, he's taking time with us. Time with us. Don't get caught up in the shopping thing. Do your little shopping you got to do, but spend this time with God. Make your list. Start even tonight when we get off this broadcast. Make your list and keep it ever before you. And talk to God about those places that you know you're standing up. And if you're not sure what they are, ask God. He'll tell you. He'll tell you where you're standing up at. He'll tell you where you're still trying to work it out. And if you just give it to me, I'll show you what you need to do. So, Father God, we just bless you tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory. God, we thank you. And we bless you for your love tonight, oh, God. We thank you that you love us so much, that, God, that you want us to get out of the way so that you can be all that we need, God. We thank you that we don't have to be anything for anybody but you, God. And so we ask that you would continually, Father God, just show us where we're standing up at, where there's doubt and where there's fear, and that, God, that you can be God. And remind us, God, help us to remind ourselves, recall to our minds the things that you've already done, knowing that, God, that you're the same God that will always be, in Jesus' name. Bless these, your people, God, from this day forward, that they will know indeed that you're more than enough. And we give you honor, and we give you praise, and we give you glory, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, before I get off the line tonight, I just want to extend the line of salvation. So if you've never asked him to come, then you don't know what it means for him to rule and abide in your life. And so, you know, you may be at a place where you're tired of trying to work it out, because it can be, it's work trying to work things out, and you don't even have enough. You don't know enough. You're not enough. And you realize that, you know, I keep going around the mulberry bush trying to figure this thing out. But God said tonight, if you would just come and give your life over to me, then I can lead and guide you. So if you're on the line tonight and you want him to come and take over your life, you want to get out of the way and let him come in and rule and abide, then I need you just to repeat after me. That, Father God, I ask tonight that you would forgive me for trying to run my life, try to orchestrate my life. And I ask tonight that you would forgive me, that I am a sinner and that I've been in the way. But tonight I ask for forgiveness, and I ask that you would come and rule and abide in my life, and that you would lead and guide me into the things that you would have me to do and the things that you would have me to be. I surrender and I give my life to you in Jesus' name. I believe that Jesus died for me, that he loves me, and now I'm ready to start this journey with him. So I bless you, God, and I bless you, and I bless you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen, amen. Well, glory to God, hallelujah. And if you're one of the people on the line tonight that has given your life over, and this is an awesome time, the last month of the year, that you'll be able to step into the new year being this other person that God is going to introduce you to in 2020. So if you are, I ask that you would just, you know, send me an email or text or come to the church, something, tell me something so that I can send you some more information that will help you on your journey. Well, bless God tonight. I was thinking right before I got on the line that today, I was thinking that the next time that we get together on this broadcast, it'll be 2020, y'all, 2020, 2020. Wow. Wow. So I just want to say a big thanks to everyone that has joined me on the broadcast in 2019, who have prayed for me and supported the ministry. In advance, I want to say Merry and a blessed Christmas and a Happy New Year. And may you and your family worship the King and be forever blessed. And thanks to everyone for being on the broadcast tonight. And join me again the first Monday in 2020. Yay, 2020. And I look forward to what God is going to do in my life. I'm looking forward to what he will do in Rehoboth. And I'm looking forward. I want to hear about you guys. Make your list out tonight. Write your list. Remind yourself, recall to yourself what he has done, and keep it ever before you. Be blessed. Love you guys. And please hold for the final words.
We thank you for joining us on the Lifeline broadcast and pray you've been blessed. Again, our church is Rehoboth Family Life Center, located at 17900 Queen Anne Road, Upper Marlboro, Maryland, 20774. Apostle Jones would love to hear from you. She can be reached via Apostle S. Jones at RehobothFLC.org or by dialing 1-877-354-6082. Until next month's broadcast. Good evening, and God bless.
I just believe, God. I believe. I believe, God. I just believe.
Talk Radio is a nonprofit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prospers.
Unto the Lord.